return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
One of the little kids back there had her Bible up in the air.
Hey, we got here exposing religious terminology, and so we want to welcome everybody to join us Facebook Live, and or if you're hearing this later on YouTube, this is a good thing, good message to share. It's a good message to ponder, get yourself in the Word of God, and to see what does the Bible say. Amen. And so, whatever country you're from Asia to African continent, American continent, and so forth, we just welcome you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's there for you. He's with you. Thank you, Jesus. So we say a word like God is good all the time. Amen? The question is, how good is He? We live in a world that's filled with chaos, with wars, with famines, with destruction all around and so forth. So what is God doing and what is God not doing? It's a question to ask yourself. What is God doing? What is God not doing? So the Bible says that God will give us a spirit of truth. Amen? Now, the spirit of truth will lead you into truth. What is it, where is it, in other words, where is He going to lead you? Well, He's going to lead you into the Bible, all right? He's going to lead you into the Bible so you can discern the things that you face, whether it's God doing it or it's not God doing it. Amen? So we faced a lot, of course, when our daughter was sick many years ago. Many Christians came with terminology you're going to hear. And quite frankly, most of the time, it never ministered to us, but it's the Word of God that ministered to us. So the terminology we use a lot of times references God's character, right? So people, you'll hear in all kinds of evangelical churches, you're going to hear these things. And you have to stop and think, where do these things come from? What's their meaning? Number one, you can write this down. Number one, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. Is that true or not true? That's not true. Because everything in the world going on here is not of God. Actually, the Bible says the god of this world is the devil. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:4. So I want to share some things now, just putting light on stuff. Everything happens for a reason. Well, is that reason good or bad? All right? Does that mean everything that's happening is from God? Well, the answer is no. Christians speak a lot of Christianese. And they'll parrot statements like I'm talking about. They'll parrot these statements out with no thinking about what's behind those statements. When the statement is probably totally false in this case. Amen? Number two, God is in control. And so you hear this in many, many places. And of course, that term, that phraseology comes from Calvinism, which means God has pre-planned everything. So therefore, God is in control. Well, we would say that, as the Bible says, He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the creator of the universe, all right? He is planning to come back again. We see those things in the Bible. Amen. There will be a judgment in the world. That is true. All those things are going to happen. He knows everything about you. The question is this: does God control you? Now, in a Calvinistic way, people would actually say, yes, He does. He controls your decisions. He controls your actions. He controls everything about you. Now, if that would be the case, then we'd have to look, okay, well, then He's controlling the murderer. He's controlling the rapist. He's controlling the abortionist, right? He's controlling the drunk who keeps going buying the booze. That's just His will. So when we say statements, God is in control, We're phrasing a description of God that this is who God is. He's in control. And people will say that something good happens. Say, well, God is in control, and that's wonderful. But 99% of the time, something bad's happening. And if we say God is in control, then we're actually slandering the name of Jesus Christ. He will give you a choice. In fact, Jesus had this whole crowd following him, and then he gave this talk in John 7, and pretty soon they all left him. And he actually said to the disciples, you want to go too? You can. You got a choice here. You can go if you want to. You can follow me or not follow me. It's your choice. Number three, God always has a purpose. God always has a purpose. Now, we should stop and ask ourselves, what good then is happening out of my circumstances? What is the purpose? So again, this gets back to all the things happening in life. Well, if that's his purpose, lots of people believe these sayings because it eliminates them from doing anything. I can sit back, I can relax. Churches teach these things, so people, they come to church, they don't bring their Bibles, they don't study their Bibles. Christian, yeah, well, he's in control, and so they don't have to, I have no responsibility. I have nothing to do with how my life goes or where it ends up or anything. I have nothing, no responsibility. Number four, God allowed it to happen. God allowed it to happen. Well, that can be true, but keep in mind what he allowed doesn't make it his will. God will allow a person to go to hell. 2 Peter, it said he's not willing that any should perish. All right? He's not willing that any should perish, but some do perish, don't they? But his will is that they would not perish. So to say the word or to say the statement God allowed it to happen does not mean it's his will. But when people think of say it a lot of times, they're implying it's his will. God allowed that to happen for you. You know, kind of like just grin and bear it. That's your destiny in life. Number five, people say God's ways are mysterious. You know, that's the lazy man's way to say, I'm too lazy to get in the Bible to find out what it says. God's ways are mysterious. You know, you can't figure out the Lord. You don't know what he's doing. Well, actually, I'd beg to differ that you can know a lot about who God is if you look at Jesus Christ and you look at his nature and how he loves people. Then you can understand a lot of who he is. And his ways, pretty soon you realize, hey, they're not so mysterious. Okay, number six. All things work together for good. And of course, people quote this verse, you know, or quote it. It's a statement in the Bible. All things work together for good. You know, all things work. And of course, they'll say that a lot of times when something good happened and stuff. And they'll say, all things work together for good. What about when something bad happened? In other words, what are those things? Yeah. When people say all things, now the Bible does say all things work together for good. That is a statement. We're going to look at the context a little bit. The Bible does say that. But what are those things? When you say all things work together for good. Number seven, statements. It says God wants to teach you something. So people are going through circumstances and usually it means it's bad circumstances, and they say, God's trying to teach you something. Yeah, we've heard people say before they're sick, and so they don't go to work, and then it's like, well, the Lord wanted you to have a day off. I doubt that. Sickness is oppressive. Who likes to be sick? Yeah, hey, I got a day off, I'm sick. Now, think about this. People say, God wants to teach you something. Now, of course, what the implication is, he's teaching you out of your circumstances, okay? He's teaching you out of your circumstances in life, right? So why would God want to use your circumstances when he gave you his word? John 15 is a familiar verse here, but it just says, we are cleansed and pruned already because of the word his teachings, the word which I've given unto you, which I've discussed with you. So we're pruned. One guy, wonderful brother in the Lord, but wrote a whole book on pruning. Of course, it would be a very depressing book, right? I did read it. It's very depressing, like he's going to prune you here, he's going to prune you here, and this and that. And it's like pretty soon you feel like you come out like in your all your limbs are amputated, you know? Right. Not real good. Now, see, if we have that perspective of God, that he's going to prune us through these things, then it's kind of a bad thing, you know? Who wants to say, Lord, your will be done in my life? It's like, eeks, I'm not going to pray that. Right. So God wants to teach you something. He's going to teach us, of course, out of his word. Amen? Now, someone could come around and say, well, something bad happened to somebody, but out of that, something good happened. Something good only will happen if that person looks to the Lord. If they look to the Lord, of course something good will happen. That's the way for all of us. Amen. But you have to look to the Lord. And of course, again, the pivotal thing is, what does the Word say? We're learning out of the Word of God. Amen. Now, our filter is important. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're his representatives, right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, he's made us able ministers of the New Testament. Okay, so now we're not ministers of the old. We're ministers of the new. Now, if this be the case, our filter should be the New Testament. So as many people prophesy and talk and so forth, they're using these Old Testament examples to then declare things for today, and they're absolutely wrong. Your filter must be the New Testament. We are minister of the New Testament. The Old Testament never brought life and never will bring life. So it's the New Testament through the blood of Jesus that brings us life. Now we're representative of the Father, right? So we want to represent him in a proper way. All around us we have people that are in difficult situations. Now, I'm speaking here from the United States, but many of you in other countries are living in horrible situations. You face death. You face persecution. You face all kinds of harm. We pray for you. God is your helper. We pray for you, all right? Your situations, we're just learning about these things, all right? Americans are quite soft. We're learning about this. But we're representatives of the Father. And so when times get tougher and tougher and tougher, how are we going to represent the Father? How are we going to represent what he's saying, all right? In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, where Jesus taught him to pray this way, and he said, pray to your Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, for many of us, we grew up praying this prayer as a child, have it memorized and so forth. And yet, to this day, even most Christians do not understand this statement, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why don't they understand it? Because they're still blaming God for all these things that he did not do. They're still speaking the Christianese, sounding really spiritual, but they're not helping anybody. So understanding, okay, what is when he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, well, what's in heaven, right? He can't give you what he doesn't have. Amen. In other words, God is not inspiring violence. God is not inspiring war. God is not inspiring atrocities. God is not inspiring storms. Remember, Jesus rebuked the storm. If it was from his Father, he'd be rebuking his Father. He didn't do that. A kingdom divided cannot stand. He didn't rebuke his Father. He's rebuking the devil, causing the storm, who wanted to kill him. So his will, what's in heaven, is what he wants to bring to earth. Now, he's going to bring that to believe. Who's he bringing that to? Us, right? He's bringing that to us as believers that believe in him, that follow him. And then we are his representatives, ambassadors to this world to point others to him. To point out and say, this is what he's like. Also to point out, this is what he's not like. Amen? What's in heaven? Well, none of the problems of the world are in heaven. Okay? Nothing like that. So you can be assured, even as you pray, he's not going to give you a problem. He's going to give you answers. He's going to give you the tools to overcome the problem. Amen? Had a conversation with a woman, okay? Then another state, southern state and so forth, that we'd done, church had done business and so forth like that. So I knew this woman because of that. Then her husband got cancer, prayed with her on the phone. She was a believer, just a fundamental believer and so forth, but prayed with her and so forth, and later her husband died. And then I talked to her again. I says, well, now how are you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good, but you can pray for my son. I said, oh, okay. Now, her son was in his 20s, and so they go to the funeral, and, of course, the minister said God had a purpose in taking your dad. Now, her son is in his 20s. Now, how would you like it if a loved one you have dies, worse yet, murdered, and then someone comes, a minister, who was a Christian, but comes and says, God had a purpose in taking your dad. Now, at that point, how would you feel about God? Probably about how this kid felt. Because at that point, boom, he's out the door and he's not going back to church. I'm not going back to sing, to hear about, or worship a God who's going to kill my dad with cancer. And they lost him. I mean, this kid's out there. Just this week, we were talking to some folks. And a young person goes to church, gives his life to the Lord, gets baptized in water and so forth. But then as a youth leader, God is in control. God does all these things. And this kid now, who's quite intelligent, brilliant, high school kid, just said, I'm over it. If that's who God is, I'm not going to serve him. I'll be an atheist. Our representation, now these are Christians, but they're representing God in a way that he is not. False statements. Speaking their Christianese. Sounding good. And this boy says, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to live in Christianity. I'll explore other religions. How we speak, how we act, is directly then reflective to the one who saved us, whether you like it or not. So the things that come out of our mouth, and we're just speaking Christianese, probably not too good. Amen? If we say God had a reason, then we're saying God did it. Right. Isn't that right? Because people say, well, I didn't say that. No, you did say that. He had a reason, so he did it. Right. He did do it. That was his reason. Amen? Why should we think the ways of God are mysterious if everything Jesus taught and kept exposing through the Holy Spirit came to bring us light? Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians a second. Okay? 2 Corinthians, we have, of course, this classic verse. Hear it again on Christian radio and so forth. 2 Corinthians 2:9. It says, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And therefore, we cannot understand his ways are mysterious. You just can't know. Which this verse, of course, is Old Testament verse from Isaiah 64. Mm-hmm. Have you heard this? Right, you've heard that? All right. So the next verse, though, says what? Next verse in verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us, revealed them. What is revealing? He's revealing the things that God has prepared for us. So the Holy Spirit, God is revealing them to us through his Spirit. Now the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So when we say his ways are mysterious, it just means, you know, I'm too lazy to read my Bible. Now, I just want to say this. Ministers fall in this category. Many, 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 many ministers, At a pastor's conference one time, I brought up some of these things. I had a minister come up to me and he says, "You're wrecking my theology." And I said, "Well, that probably needed to be wrecked. Because you as a minister ought to be in the Bible." You can't look at someone and think, you know, look at their big ministry, therefore they must be right. You can't do that. You can hear people. We learn from a lot of people, but you have to have your Bible open and think, "I don't think it says that." Because lots of times people are getting a little milk, maybe throwing in a piece of meat, and then a lot of bones. And they're choking on the bones. So his ways are good ways. The things that he's doing are good things, because Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all. Amen. So we don't want to shape our beliefs around circumstances. We want to shape our beliefs around the Word of God. Amen. So that we don't misrepresent the Father. Okay. Here's one here. God always has a purpose. Let's look at this. 1 John 3. God always, you know, there was a whole book written, sold millions of copies, Purpose Driven Life, and everything, and of course it's Calvinism, it's predestination, that everything that happens in your life, not saying the whole book is bad, but I'm just saying you have to discern, everything that happens in your life has a purpose. Like driving up this morning, someone whose car was just smashed on the interstate, probably hit a deer because the whole front end was bowed, probably a big buck, whole front end bowed and so forth, off to the side of the roads, debris was there, lights were still flashing, so it probably happened early this morning in the dark. That's not a real good purpose. You know, if you just ordinary things in life, he had a purpose in that. Really? Well, now my car's wrecked, and now I have this big deductible, and now I got to get some car that I can pay myself, all these other things. It's misrepresentation. What is it? Well, it was an accident. Yeah, we live in a fallen world. But let's not blame God for the things that happen every day when he's not in it. Can't do that. Just can't do that. So to say God always has a purpose, there are things, of course, that happen that we think, boy, Lord led me by the Spirit and this happened. Wow, that's beautiful. But not everything that happens is the purpose of God. 1 John 3, he was manifest to take away our sins. And then it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So there is the purpose that Jesus came. Now, again, you gotta scratch deeper. Okay, what's the works of the devil? He came to steal, kill, and destroy, right? You identify most churches. If you ask them, is there a devil? They wouldn't even know. I'm talking about evangelical churches because they're never exposed. People aren't aware that they even have an adversary. Well, I wonder who that is. Well, if you just read your Bible, you know it's the devil, right? See, the Scripture, the more Scripture you know, the freer you become. The more Scripture you know, the more you will represent your Father in the right way as a New Testament believer. So the purpose of God was to destroy the works of the devil. Simplicity, of course, we could say sin, right? But what does that involve? Well, Adam's sin brought all the calamities that we have in the world today. That won't be totally changed until Jesus comes back again. Amen. Then, of course, that's all changed. But in the meantime, we're here living in this environment. An environment that has basically been wrecked by sin. But we're here as the lights of Jesus, to shine for him, point others to him that he is good. Amen? Amen? So the purpose of God is to destroy the works of the devil. Well, that should begin in our own lives, right? Sin, sickness, poverty, all those things. Believing God and then exporting that to other people to say, hey, there is hope. Hey, you can be free from those drugs. Hey, you can be free from that habit. There is forgiveness. There is hope in every way. That's what we're offering. The question comes, of course, this one repeating, all things work together for good. Okay, Romans 8, verse 28. This is the verse that statement comes from. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, there's a lot of things in here that are requirements. One, it says all things, okay? It's working for good to those who love God. Gotta love God. Then the next part of the verse is to those who are called according to His purpose. So in this verse, people take a statement and they kind of broadcast it. There are some ministers that use this statement so much I can't even listen to them anymore. And they're born again. But it is so irritating because you're misleading people. Everything, God always has a reason. God has a purpose. You know, it's very American to believe these cliches. It's very American because you live in America. Most things are good. That doesn't translate, though, in a lot of nations. Translate in terms of, like, what good did happen? They just killed my daddy. Or they murdered somebody. Or all these other things, you know, that go on in the world. Atrocities. In case you don't know it, the world's a pretty bad place. So when you say again, all things work together for good, then it's like, yikes. What are we saying here? How are we describing our God? How, if a Muslim hears that, how does he think about your God? If a Hindu hears it, how does he think about your God? A Buddhist hears it, how does he think about your God? All things work together for good. Now, in this context, this verse is a verse in the Bible. This statement is in the Bible. But the statement is taken out of the context. All right? So it's talking about people who love Jesus and so forth, called according to His purpose, which would be declare the good news, right? Walk in the victory over the devil. Amen. Walking in power and authority. That's who it's addressed to. Okay. Now, most Bible people would think, okay, context, what's before the verse and what's after the verse? Okay, so what is it saturated, right? What's in the middle of it? So you got a verse in the Bible, and the danger is you could take Bible verses and say it, and you could say it's the Bible, but it's not in context, right? Kind of like the verse in Galatians, we're all the children of God. I heard this in the ministerial meeting. We're all the children of God, Dave. Ah, except the next part is by faith in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came to some of the Pharisees who knew all about, quote, God, Old Testament God, and Jesus said, your father's the devil. Wow. Pretty bold statement, right? Obviously weren't his children. So let's go before this. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 26 and following. What is the context? The Spirit helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, all right? A lot of times we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Okay, leave it there. Just leave it back there a second. At Romans, there you go, thanks. So, verse prior is we're praying in the Holy Ghost, right? We're praying in the Spirit. We're praying for the will of God to be done in our lives and through our lives, right? And that's the intercession. So we're making intercession according to the will of God. So the will of God, the purpose of God, to be like Jesus, conform to Jesus, live for Jesus, amen, shine His light for Jesus. I mean, all these things are the purposes of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the front end of verse 28. Now from there we go into verse 28 and verse 29. So then it goes in from there right into this. We know that all things. Now what is he referencing? He's referencing what you just prayed. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the reference here. The all things is not the car accident, is not the sickness, is not the divorce, is not something bad happening at all. Christians who say that statement need to stop. It's wrong. The context is wrong. You hear me wherever you are in the world. Some of you have heard me preach. You know what I preach. You got to walk in the light of the Word of God. So the context that all things work together for good and love and there's all these other things is wrong. It's relating to what was prior to it, praying in the Holy Ghost, to be in the will of God, getting help from the Holy Spirit. We know that those things, all of them, no exceptions. No exceptions. All those things. People can say, you know, Pastor, all these things work together for good. I can give you lists of people who aren't in churches anymore, do not want to be a Christian, do not want to follow the Lord because of things like this. Because people told them this, and atrocities or things happen in their life, and they are out the door. And Christians have caused them to stumble because they misrepresented the New Testament. They misrepresented who the Father is. Folks, our gospel is such good news that when it's really taught and so forth, people want, like, I want that God. I want that God. It's like I think I said this before, the man who had been part of ISIS and Iraq and so forth and saw the brutality and saw the beheadings and saw the things like that, the ideology. And at some point got disillusioned and thought, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And he left. And he goes into Turkey. And there was a Christian that pointed out a Bible verse. Someone pointed out a Bible verse that said that God is good and that he pray for your enemies. He loves your enemies. And he's thinking, who on earth would that be? But it just kept going, rolling around in his mind. Pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Just the opposite of radical theology, radical thinking, right? And then he gets the Bible and he reads it and he realizes it's Jesus Christ who said this. And the man said, I want to know him. And today, after giving his life to Jesus and surviving the death threats, he's a pastor in Turkey. Because he realized how good our God is. Look at the context. All the things of the Holy Ghost, all of it, work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And people say, well, Pastor Dave, what's His purpose? Let's read the next verse. Right? Read the next verse. Because He planned. Predestined means He planned. Say planned. He didn't program people. He didn't put a chip in you and say, you are going to serve God. He didn't do that. He planned to adopt us. He planned, God so loved the world. I'll take all of you. Whoever you are, I'll take all of you. If you want my life, I give it all to everybody. He planned to do that. And then they have a choice. If you don't accept the adoption, you don't accept the adoption, you have the choice. So he planned for what? What's the purpose? To be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the purpose. What else would Jesus want you to be conformed to? It's very sad to me when all around the world denominations have outreaches and so forth and they make people members of their denomination. Bad message. We're making people believers. We're encouraging them to be believers in Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear what denomination a person is. Yeah, oh, you're Christian. Oh, I go to this church. That's not what I asked you. Are you a believer or not a believer? Right? So the image, we're conformed to his image of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose here. That's the all things. That's all he's trying to work for. All those things of the Holy Ghost working together for good to those that love him, called according to his purpose to be like Jesus. Should make you want to pray in tongues a lot. That's why Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Should make you want to stir up and think, man, I want to dig in the Word. I want to be like Jesus. And thank you, Lord. Because when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, He is doing good things. He is changing us. He is conforming us to the image of His dear Son. That's the context of the verse. So the next time you hear someone, and you will, that God always has a purpose, you should probably quickly say, look at the context. Look at the context before you repeat that any further. Most people, let me just guarantee you, they haven't read the Bible. They have no idea what comes prior to this verse. They have no idea what comes after the verse because they just haven't read the Bible. So they're sitting in a church. We're all sitting here. The pastor said, that's good, Pastor. All things work together for good. Love it. Go ahead and repeat it at the restaurant. God works things out for good. Sorry. Wrong message. Wrong. Your thinking has to be filtered through the New Testament. Amen? So we're filtering. So I'm washing my brain with the Word. I'm renewing my mind with the Word. And I'm renewing it in the context of the New Testament, what Jesus Christ has done for me, and what He wants to do in me, and what He wants to do through me. So I'm filtering that all through the New Testament. It makes me think, I want to be a light for Him. Phoebe, I want to be a laborer. All over the world, laboring for Jesus, telling people about Jesus. Amen? Yes. We're not immune from the attacks of the enemy, but God can redeem any situation if we look to Him. Yes. In other words, there's an attack. We recognize, where's the attack coming from? Okay, you recognize it's from the enemy. Yeah. Amen? John 3:17. God didn't send His Son in the world to condemn it. To pronounce judgment, He came to save the world. John 12, verse 47, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save the world. Everything Jesus did was good. Everything He's saying is good. Everything in His life was good. And we're ministers of that New Testament, of who Jesus Christ is. That's the image we want to take on. Amen? That's how we want to interact with the world. Luke 9, when, of course, Jesus was going to go through the Samaritan city and they stopped Him and so forth. And James and John says, we'll call down fire like Elijah did. So they were followers of Jesus. They quoted the Bible. They believed that they were totally right and they were totally wrong. They were 100% wrong. New Testament thinking now, right? Jesus turned and rebuked them. They're quoting Elijah. They're ready to go. Totally thinking they're right. People say a lot of these things. They think they're right. I understand that. It's just that we have to bring context to everything, to the Word of God, if we're going to help people. Otherwise, they're misled. And Jesus rebuked them. Now, that's a strong term. But He rebuked James and John. You don't know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Wow. That's pretty neat. Amen. He paid the price. He paid the price. When people are talking now, prophecies, you know, judgments coming on America and so forth, I'm thinking, wow, if you're going to prophesy that, I hope you prophesy with tears in your eyes. Yeah. But a lot of people just prophesy because they know it and they're standing in the truth and we're right and their teeth are clenched and they're against all these things that are wrong in the world. I would guess Jesus' fist is not clenched. And He's walking amongst the people of the world just trying to give them life. Just trying to bless him. Not raising his voice at him. Not pointing a finger. Just being nice to him. Because why? Because we say God is good all the time, right? All the time. Let's look at the scripture in Luke quick. We just got a few more verses. Luke chapter 6. And this is the verse that this ISIS soldier read. Love your enemies. Do good. Hoping for nothing in return, your reward will be great. You'll be the sons of the Most High. He's kind to the unthankful and evil. How good is God? Yikes, He's pretty good, right? Yeah. So when we portray Him, and when people talk about things, we need to portray Him in the right way. portraying how good he is. In other words, there's times I come to people and I just say, he didn't do that. Years ago, remember years ago, we'd be on the MDA telephones, live television, because our daughter was poster child for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. We knew who we were fighting, though, all right? We knew it wasn't God. But I'm in the TV studio, and off set and so forth, they're doing other stuff. I'm in the green room, and you have people there, and people in wheelchairs. And here's this young boy from Nebraska, and he's got Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And I leaned over to him, and I just said, you know, Jesus loves you so much. I'm on my knees. He's in his wheelchair. He's about 17 years old, 18 years old, not expected to live another year. I'm on my knees. I got my hand on the back of the wheelchair, and I said, Jesus loves you so much. And he turned to me, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, I hate God. And it just kind of shocked me. I kind of, like, what? So I hate God. I said, why would you say that? Because his minister said that God did it, that God had a plan. And he said, I hate God. Eyes were running. Pretty soon his nose was running. I helped dab his nose. And I said to me, and I said, look at me now. Look at me as much as you can. I got right up close to his face and I said, God didn't do this to you. That man lied to you. He lied to you. He didn't do this. He's looking at me like, what? I said, no, God is good. Jesus is good. He is a healer. He loves you. He cares about your life. He did none of this to you. But a minister lied to him. And that guy, who's dead today, you know, hopefully turned at that point then to who? To Jesus. Away from the bad teaching he had received. How good is he? Jesus is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Remember, people will say this statement. They say, well, you get what you deserve. I can remember Magic Johnson came down with AIDS. And there was Christians. Well, he got what he deserved. It's going to be that way. He got what he deserved. No, Jesus would never say that. You reap what you sow. If you sow to a lifestyle of different things, you're going to reap that lifestyle. That is true. But you don't get what you deserve. Folks, none of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve heaven. It's like I've pastored for a lot of years. I deserve to get. No, none of us deserve heaven. We're going to get heaven because of faith in Jesus Christ and His amazing grace. Only because of that. But keep in mind that Jesus said our God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Isn't that right? And then Jesus goes on to say, you should be merciful. Turn your name and say, you should be merciful. What does that mean? We're giving mercy all the time. You should give mercy in your home. You should give mercy to your friends. You should give mercy to people you see. You should give mercy to the person who is evil. You should give mercy. Why? Because that's what he asks us to do, right? See, all of hell, I think hell is recoiling. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew, where is it? Matthew 16. Jesus said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. So I think hell is recoiling. Why? Because believers, you know, they talked about the thorn in the flesh. I believe we can be a thorn in his side. Amen. We're overcomers. And so Jesus said, the gates of hell. What is the gates doing? The gates is trying to keep out things. You don't fight with gates. Well, I'm going to swing this gate at Dave. You don't fight. You don't do that. You just got fiery darts. True. But the gates implies that the church is growing. The church is beginning to walk in glory. And the devil, we're taking back ground from the enemy. Yeah. I like Ron Hart Bonnke's quote many years ago when he said, we're going to plunder hell to populate heaven. We're going into the dark world and bringing darkness and bringing out light. Amen? So the church is advancing. And the devil knows that. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're an overcomer. 1 John 4:4 said that if he lives in us, Notice what it says. You're of God. You belong to him. You've already defeated and overcome the agents of the Antichrist. In other words, you have that power already in you. Amen. You're not weak. You're strong. Amen. Put your arm like this. Say, I'm strong. Well, I am strong. You are strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Greater is he that lives in you than he that is in the world. So the devil already knows he's defeated, right? Devil already knows he has a short time. Devil knows who you are. Jesus I know and Paul I know, and he knows you should know your name, walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Devil knows you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Devil knows you're anointed with the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Romans 8:30, is God before us, who can be against us? We have this New Testament mind. We're an adversary to the devil, a thorn in his spirit, and a conqueror in Christ. We have these things now. It's not someday, it's today. You have this now. This is the good news of the gospel. He's given this to you and I so that you and I can walk in victory and we can represent him in a right way. And we can live our lives, and even as we live our lives, clarify things to the world. Amen. That God is good. Or point out, no, wrong thinking, wrong thinking. Amen. So that we can help others to walk in this victory. That's what's good about this. People think, you know, well, that because churches are big, that means they're successful, or that the message is right. Not true at all. We went to a church. Remember that church in Orlando? Oh, my goodness. So we take our grandsons. Oh, we take them and think, oh, someone said, got to go over to this church. And so we go to this church and so on. Music was pretty good and so forth. A lot of people. Big crowd. And so then the pastor has the message on the shepherd and the sheep and the staff and so forth. And then, of course, Jesus carrying the lamb. And why did Jesus carry the lamb? Because he broke its leg. Because he had to teach that lamb something. He was dealing with that lamb and went on and on and on and on. And finally I thought, okay, time to go. We walked out. We apologized to our grandkids. That was the awful. You think, why would anybody go there? People just said, okay, that's what he did. He just broke his leg. He'll break my leg maybe. Who knows? It was the most absurd thing.
Even our grandkids.
Like, Papa, where'd you bring us here for? Oh, boy. People say questions like, God has everybody here who he wants to be here. Not true. Not true at all. Jesus is always beckoning people. People have a choice what they want to follow. People have a choice what they want to believe. People have choice if they want to just be comfortable. Got all things under control. It's all good. I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to coast in life. Right. Someone dies and the funeral brochure and so forth. So God picked a rose. And it's like, oh my goodness. Sad deal. Another angel in heaven. Well, we're not angels in heaven. And he's not picking flowers like you. Jesus said, I pray that you would live, John 17. Keep them from the evil one. Why does he wants Christians here? He's not out killing Christians. Hey, if we die, let's just face it, let's have a celebration, right? But in the meantime, we're here for a purpose and a reason to light, be a light for him. We're kind of up to time. I'm going to carry on a little bit more this Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I'm going to share something here, so I'll carry on more with this. Hey, Facebook, you can share this with anybody. You should share it. Encourage others, believe others, to believe the Word of God, to know what the Bible says, and not just say Christianese, not just saying statements that have no founding in the Bible. So, Father, I thank you for your word, your presence, your love, that you love us so much and you gave your life for us. Lord, in spite of us, Lord, you like us. And, Lord, that you're with us even today. And, Lord, you're working in your spirit here in this place and through people online, Lord. I thank you for that anointing. I thank you for just opening people's eyes to truth. Lord, that people can be free in you. And Jesus, we do want to be your ambassadors to represent you well here in this earth. So I just thank you for blessing people, anointing them with your power, with your love, Help us to be kind to everybody, to speak the truth in love. Father, thank you for this. Give you praise for it, Father, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, just stand with me for a second. We just speak blessings over you, amen. And when you walk out of here, go in the love of Jesus, amen. Go in the love of Jesus, go in the love of the Father. The Holy Spirit will guide you, and you're going to walk in His grace, amen. So shake hands with about 5-10 people, just bless them. Don't be in a hurry. Incidentally, if you ever want to come early, say early, that's good. There's coffee, donuts, lemonade, all there free if you want to come early in fellowship, amen. We're all around here, amen. All right, bless your neighbor. In Jesus' name, we'll see you this week. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.